Less than 2 weeks ago, our country was robbed of one of the brightest lights of our times, a giant of his generation, and above all, a devoted husband, father, son, Christian, and patriot. Charles James Kirk was heinously murdered by a radicalized, cold-blooded monster for speaking the truth that was in his heart.
You know, this is a very long, generally very good ceremony yesterday in Glendale at State Farm Stadium where the Cardinals play. 90,000 or so in attendance was the number that I saw. I think it was much higher than that in terms of who tried to get in. Some people were not even able to get in. But President Trump was the keynote speaker, which in retrospect, honestly, I wish they had just ended with Erica Kirk because she was so good. We talked about that last hour. If you missed it, go back and either listen to my discussion of it or just watch it. It's on our Facebook page. You can watch that her one speech for yourself. Some of the things he said were very good and very appropriate.
He was assassinated because he lived bravely. He led boldly, and he argued brilliantly without apology. He did what was right for our nation. And so on that terrible day, September 10th, 2025, our greatest evangelist for American liberty became immortal. He's a martyr now for American freedom.
Yeah, a martyr for his faith, a martyr for his belief in the conscience rights of the individual and their speech rights, which grow out of those conscience rights. Yeah, absolutely. Very true. And, you know, again, a lot of what he said was very good. The problem with Trump's speech is that it was still Trump's speech. It was still the rambling, weavy 40 minutes of, we're going to talk about autism now. We're going to talk about crime in Chicago. We're going to talk, you know, just kind of just all over the place. It is why I think that if they'd have just ended with, you know, I mean, you can't not have the president speak and you can't really put him before her, but he didn't really, I mean, maybe you say he did exactly what Charlie Kirk would want because he gave his kind of a speech, you know, free speech, but it's not a memorial service kind of a speech, a lot of it. But again, some of it's very touching.
But what was even more important to Charlie than politics and service was the choice he made in the fifth grade, which he called the most important decision of his life, to become a Christian and a follower of his Savior, Jesus Christ.
So that struck me odd. His Savior, Jesus Christ? Our. I mean, it's not a big thing. It seemed odd to me. But it, you know, you can overinterpret sometimes. But then when we got into some of the other stuff where he was talking about Charlie and about the opponents of Charlie, the speech by Erica was so explicitly Christian and faithful and graceful and amazing that the contrast, and somebody had told me earlier that the some of the other political speeches more were this way, it was just off note in contrast.
Agreed, and the boy asked for advice. Charlie replied, the left, I call it the radical left. I call it sometimes the radical left lunatics. But Charlie didn't say that. He called it the left. He was probably right, but I can't help it.
You can help it.
So he said the left, radical left lunatics, may have all.
I mean, that was kind of the point, is this is a celebration of a very graceful man. Charlie did not do this perfectly either. I had a whole conversation in the 5 o'clock hour about what J.D. Vance had said, his comments, you know, why it's important to be gracious, how we all fail. What I think set Charlie Kirk apart, to the degree that I know him, and I don't feel like I'm an expert on him, but to the degree that I've listened to him, is that, you know, he was sometimes short and sometimes mean and sometimes curt with people and said things that, you know, in a confrontational way. But at other times, he was incredibly kind and generous and patient. And, you know, like, that's what I think his heart was. That's what I think he was trying to do. I know I try to do that, and I fail all the time, but I feel bad when I fail. I'm sure Charlie feels bad. What concerns me about President Trump is that I don't think he really does feel bad when he says the radical lunatic left. I can't help myself. And then everybody laughs. I wasn't laughing. I was thinking, you know, you're really drawing a contrast between the kind of speech that Charlie Kirk did and the kind of speech that you do. And you're missing the point, I think, of a lot of this. We'll come back to it in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Olive Road and Whitmire Drive. So if you're headed eastbound approaching Davis Highway on Olive Road, still got the roadblock in the turning lane, so be aware of that. But other than that, I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So President Trump continued and talked about that day when he arrived at campus, what Charlie encountered, what he was told about the crowd.
Shortly before Charlie arrived on campus, the day he was assassinated, a staff member texted him that there were many critics and students who were opposed to his views and rather strenuously in the crowd. And that actually made him feel good because he wanted to convince them. He understood. He really did. He understood what was right. And he was right about that. A lot of it was based on common sense, by the way.
Now, in order to understand this next comment, we're going to have to back up. Okay? And if you didn't watch this yesterday, I'm doing this to make sure that you're fully informed. What was the clearly the most poignant moment of the entire service yesterday was when Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, was talking about faith and what Charlie was trying to accomplish. And I know this is a little bit long, but you'll, as soon as you hear it, if you have not heard it, you'll understand why I play the whole thing. You've got to hear this first to understand what Trump is about to say next in his portion.
My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men, just like the one who took his life.
Like the one who killed him. And she had talked about these men and the Lost Boys and who they were and what he was trying to do on college campuses.
That young man.
That young man, she whispers.
That young man. On the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
You can continue to hear her grieving, weeping, sighing, barely holding it together as she just told millions of people that she forgives the man who killed her husband 11 days ago.
I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us.
Absolutely. Whether it's the Lord's Prayer or Jesus' warnings that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven, across the board, what Jesus did on the cross to the very people who were killing him, across the board. That is the clear Christian teaching, is to forgive, to forgive, to forgive, to love, to love, to love, right? You know, if you love your friends, what does that count for you? Even the Pharisees and the sinners do that. But if you love your enemies and those who persecute you, okay? All right, so back to President Trump. I think you'll understand why I wanted you to have that in your mind. So here was President Trump's most, I thought, poignant moment in his speech.
Charlie wrote back to the staff member saying, I'm not here to fight them. I want to know them and love them, and I want to reach them and try and lead them into a great way of life in our country. In that private moment on his dying day, we find everything we need to know about who Charlie Kirk truly was. He was a missionary with a noble spirit, and a great, great purpose. He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent, and I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry. I am sorry, Erica. But now Erica can talk to me and the whole group, and maybe they can convince me that that's not right, but I can't stand my opponent. Charlie's angry, looking down. He's angry at me now. He wasn't interested in demonizing anyone. He was interested in persuading everyone to the ideas and principles he believed were good, right, and true.
I felt profoundly sad for the president when he was saying that. Because he's not saying it the way a person who knows they should forgive but struggles with that, or someone who has internalized the teaching of the gospel and sees their own failure to live up to it, which is all of us. Even as he's recognizing that what he's saying is the opposite of what Charlie said and what the gospel says and what Erica said, is that he hates his enemies and people are laughing about it. I felt so sad about his lack of grasp of the core teaching of Christianity. Now, I don't know his status with the Lord. I don't know his faith. I don't know. I wouldn't presume to say. But somebody, I hope, can get to him and talk to him about, sir, listen again. When I personally fail to honor the gospel, I feel bad about it. And there are many times that I hate people or despise them or have contempt for them. And sometimes I let that come out on the air. And then I go home and I say, oh, you're supposed to be a better Christian. And then I pray for them. And that makes it better, but only for a while. And then I do it again. And, you know, okay. I mean, that's like the ongoing walk of repentance that we all as believers do. I just didn't hear that. And so it made me sad for him. Now, he said other things after that that I thought were quite good. And I don't want to end only on that sort of one note, but I thought that was a pretty important note of contrast with the pinnacle of Christian example that she was, and then what his speech wasn't.
That was a horrible attack on the United States of America. It was an assault on our most sacred liberties and God-given rights. The gun was pointed at him, but the bullet was aimed at all of us. That bullet was aimed at every one of us.
That's true. That's true.
As you know, the depraved assassin who planned and executed Charlie's killing has been arrested and charged with capital murder. God willing, he will receive the full and ultimate punishment for his horrific crime. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. He talked about Jimmy Kimmel.
And the same commentators who this week are screaming fascism over a canceled late-night TV show where the anchor had no talent and no ratings, last week were implying that Charlie Kirk deserved what happened to him.
Yeah, I understand that.
Tragically, atrocities of this kind and kind that we saw in Utah, of all places, are the eventual consequence of that kind of thinking. If speech is violence, then some are bound to conclude that violence is justified to stop speech. And we're not going to let that be justified.
Good. Let's also keep government from stifling speech, which has become a theme in the last week with the Trump administration. So all of that, I don't disagree with any of that. That was all good. It was the other part that got me the most. Now, the one thing that he ended on that I thought was really good is, you know, she spoke and she was fabulous. And he brought her back out at the end, which was right.
So, Charlie, we all want to thank you. We want to say a very loud God bless you, Charlie. God bless you for what you've done is incredible. And God bless Erica and the children. God bless the United States of America. And could I ask Erica, please come out. Erica, please come out. Thank you.
And she came out and he hugged her. And she, you know what was actually very touching is to watch her hug him the way you would hug a dad who's just protecting you for the moment. I mean, I didn't know anything about her until yesterday, but she is fabulous. And it was beautiful and it was touching. And in a way, she fixed it. You know what I mean? But I mean, pray for the president. Pray for the people in his administration. Pray for them to really be touched by the gospel. Whether they have been or not, pray for it to be better. Pray for it to be deeper. Pray for it to be more serious. Because, I mean, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, so pray for your leaders. 726 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound headed toward I-110, through that construction zone, we're seeing some major delays, about a 10 to 12-minute delay. Also still dealing with Olive Road approaching Davis Highway. Traffic is backed up all the way to Cody Lane due to an earlier accident. And also Davis Highway southbound, approaching Olive Road, seeing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. It's backed up almost to, it's past the hospital right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you need to do any kind of a home repair project, or if you build things for a living, or you're somewhere in between, or, I mean, like, I'm a 1 on this scale. You know, professional builders are like a 10, and I'm like a negative 3. Anyway, every moment of doing home repairs, I disenjoy. That's my word, disenjoy. But Pensacola Hardware, they're the place where I can go and get advice and get input and say, you know, you're thinking about doing it this way. Had you thought about doing it this way? Or I see you're buying this product. Have you ever done this before? Do you know how to use it? Want to make sure that you use it safely because some of the stuff they sell can be dangerous. But also, they want to make sure you get the end result that you're looking at. They're not just content to transactionalize it. You know, just, here's your stuff. Fine. Give us your money. Okay, good. They want to help. They want to help you whether you're a professional builder. They want to help you whether this is your first time stepping foot inside a hardware store. Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
September 23rd, the day that autumn begins. When I was a boy, my pastor told me that in an individual's life, you only get a certain number of fall times. He said, throughout your life, enjoy each season, but especially take note of fall time. Notice the leaves changing colors. Enjoy the brisk, cool air. And be sure, he said, to bask in God's creation. And don't take for granted the majesty and grace with which God created fall time. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you, as my pastor urged me, to not just go through the motions of your day, but be sure to pause and notice the majesty and grace with which God created fall time. Be sure to praise God for His handiwork. John 1:3 explains, all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Praise Jesus for the beauty of the autumn season.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
All of us at Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes want to thank you for selecting us for the second year in a row as InWeekly's Best of the Coast, Best Law Firm.
We look forward to continuing to help our neighbors with insurance and personal injury claims. TWWLawFirm.com.
Taylor Warren Widener Hancock & Barnes, attorney and counselors at law.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, welcome back. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody called and said, Andrew, honestly, listening to this and thinking about it makes me wonder, did I vote for the wrong person? No. I mean, always your choice is not pastor-in-chief, but your hope is for more, right? And always your choice is one versus the other. And I told the person, I said, I'd vote for him again. But pray for him. I mean, just always be praying for your leaders. But, I mean, pray sincerely that they have everything they need to lead effectively.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Fox News learning that the terror group Hamas has written a letter to President Trump that's in the hands of Qatar. They're asking him to guarantee a 60-day ceasefire in exchange for the immediate release of half of the remaining 48 hostages. Turning Point USA holding an event, University of Minnesota's Twin Cities. Michael Knowles replacing Charlie Kirk as tonight's speaker. He joined Fox and Friends first earlier.
Many other of Charlie's friends will be finishing out this tour. I will appear tonight. There will be an empty chair on stage. I will give a tribute to Charlie, and then we will open up the floor to an open conversation.
Kirk's wife, Erica.
After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting.
Addressing the crowd at Sunday's memorial, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 71 right now, partly cloudy skies. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in a few minutes. Well, a scary incident over the weekend at the hospital in Milton. Police say an inmate was getting medical attention there, an inmate from the Blackwater River Correctional Facility, when somehow they got access to a firearm that belonged to a guard and fired off around in the hospital. Now, nobody was hurt. Officers do say the inmate was subdued quickly and taken into custody. Milton police say they've seized that firearm and they will be pursuing charges against the inmate. The Escambia Sheriff's Office looking for a suspect that fired gunshots into the air and robbed a group of kids playing dice. Now, this happened last Friday. Deputies say the kids were playing a game on West Lakeview Avenue and North T Street about 3 o'clock that afternoon when a suspect interrupted the dice game, demanded all of the kids' money. A parent saw what was happening and confronted the man, told him to give the money back to the kids, when he reportedly then pulled a gun and fired shots into the air. Nobody was hurt. Deputies are still looking for a suspect in that case. Well, in Lake County, Florida, a black bear reportedly entered a home, resulting in chaos for the family and the pets that lived there. Officials say that the bear got in through the garage. It had been trapped by an automatic garage door. The bear then damaged the interior of the home and ended up being trapped in a bathroom. That's when the homeowner, Zeke Clark, then shot the bear several times and subdued it. They drug it out of the home. Florida FWC responded and put the animal down. An update on the incident in Orlando, where a man died after riding on an amusement park ride. Universal Orlando Resorts CEO Karen Irwin recently releasing a statement after Kevin Rodriguez Zavala's death. He was on the Stardust Racers ride at Epic Universe and died of blunt force injuries. His death was ruled an accident. Irwin wrote that the ride did not malfunction. She said the equipment did not fail and that all procedures had been followed. She said the ride does remain closed. Universal is still working through a comprehensive review of exactly what happened. Well, the 9th annual Gulf Coast Jazz Festival wrapped up over the weekend. The future of that festival, though, is in doubt after the funding request was recently denied by the Escambia Tourist Development Council. Organizer William Cadillac Banks appealing to festival goers to support the necessary funding that
he's hoping still to get from the Escambia Board of Commissioners.
It took us 9 years to get here. Let's stay where? Here. Let me hear that here again. Let's stay where?
Attendees praising the event for its cultural and economic contributions to the area. Many people hoping that with enough community backing, they can celebrate their 10th year next season. Banks is planning to take that funding request now directly to the Board of County Commissioners. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got a couple accidents on the book. One's at Ruby Avenue and West Fairfield Drive. We're seeing some roadblock in that area. Also, east Olive Road and Whitmire Drive, traffic is bad. If you're going eastbound on Olive before you get to Davis, you're seeing some major traffic backups way past Cody Lane. And let's see here, I-10 westbound. You're starting to see some major delays through that construction zone as you approach 110, and that's about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. Just a small 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. For Tuesday, another small 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny. High on Tuesday afternoon, 89 degrees. And by Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping that nice weather around on your Wednesday, we are going to have an 89 degree for your high with a small 20% chance of rain. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 71. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Washington Post reports the Trump administration is expected to make an announcement today linking pregnant women's use of Tylenol to autism. Berkshire Hathaway has completely exited its extremely profitable equity investment into the Chinese electric vehicle maker BYD. In August of 2022, Berkshire began to reduce the 225 million share position it had purchased in 2008 for 230 million. That followed a 41% jump in the value of the position during that year's second quarter to $9 billion. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer of New York has urged President Trump to meet with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown at the end of the month. Congressional Democrats have made health care a red line in negotiations, but Republicans appear unlikely to yield to their demands. Trump said he would love to meet with Democrats in Congress, but said he did not think it's going to have any impact. Futures are slightly lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 172. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Join Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus tomorrow at 10 for their Pensacola Expert Panel Show. This month's topic is healthy aging. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus is your local primary care clinic for the 65 Plus community with two Pensacola locations, 9 Mile Road and Mobile Highway. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app.
Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games
Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Look, there's calls for Kim to be fired. I think, you know, you could certainly see a path forward for suspension over this. And again, you know, the FCC is going to have remedies that we could look at. And again, you know, we may ultimately be called to be a judge on that.
No, 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 no. Look, look, I like Brendan Carr. He's a good guy. He's the chairman of the FCC. I work closely with him. But what he said there is dangerous as hell.
I just want to settle this free speech question, because you've said that you restored free speech in America. Is that free speech, including for people who are harshly critical of you, for your political opponents, for people who say things you don't like?
I've become immune to it. I've become immune to it. There's never been a person that's had more unfair publicity than me.
So we're having a really big, important conversation in this country over the role of free speech, the FCC, public broadcast licenses, the president's attitude towards people who criticize him. The first voice you heard there was Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, who, of course, threatened the licenses of stations that would continue to air Jimmy Kimmel. He's now raised questions about The View. He's, you know, sounding very much, I mean, he said, literally, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, which Ted Cruz said it made him sound like a mafioso walking in to get protection money out of the bar, and he's not wrong. That is Ted Cruz's voice. Then you heard the question of the president in the Oval Office over the weekend, where he repeatedly said, I don't know, these people with these broadcast licenses are critical of me 94-97% of the time. How can that be right? Joining us now, which I think is very concerning, all of that very concerning. The government getting involved in deciding content for broadcast licenses is, I think, terrifying, frankly. Joining us now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is, of course, our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I said a lot there, but that's all context. We've been talking this morning about the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, which we'll get to with you in a second. But I wanted to give some setup for people to haven't heard some of that stuff. Tell me where you're at on this. I mean, Pam Bondi said hate speech is going to start to be enforceable. She had to walk that back. But our side's always been against the idea of hate speech. We just believe in speech.
Well, I think, one, I'm going to speak to a little bit of your older generation right now. To me, it still seems like yesterday when I only had three channels. The last show at the end of the night was Carson or Ted Koppel, and then it would end with the national anthem every night. That snapshot of what at least used to be free speech on TV was definitely a little more restrained with the audience. We've gotten to the point where we're talking and doing things on TV that I never dreamed as a child or even just as a young adult that we would see or have going on.
Oh, amen to that. Look, yeah,
Carson made it a big deal. Yeah, Carson always stayed with the political speech, and so that was his lane. So now, as these guys have gotten more and more out there, you know, there's going to be, you know, those comments are going to come out being retaliatory. I think the reaction and the dialogue through all this was good. I think the chairman of the FCC's probably, you know, seen some pushback that will probably, you know, kind of tone his management of what's going to take place. Just like as you pointed out, what happened with Pam Bondi.
Yeah, and by the way, the question of balance in comedy, SNL, or the late night host. I mean, obviously, it's no balance. I mean, every once in a while, we're reminded of how it can be a little bit balanced, and then they go off to the left deep end again. But what scares me the most, frankly, is if we set the precedent that we can stifle those we disagree with, well, we're not going to be in power forever. And the classic conservative worry is what happens when we create a power structure and then it gets used against us. And, you know, I don't want to be kicked off the airwaves because I'm a conservative when the liberals are in power.
Well, and you saw it years ago, how when the liberals were in power, how they tried to do everything they could to shut down conservative speech.
Right.
Especially on talk radio, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen this story. But again, it ebbs and flows. It's a round world. These spikes, these peaks in how the rhetoric gets and crosses the line, it's been normal. I think this one was just probably a little more extreme, where you actually had a bunch of television stations say, hey, we're not moving forward. Now, whether they move forward because it's a potential merger or if they truly had drop off from advertisers, that all yet to be seen.
Yeah, well, and I mean, as I'm sure, as you hint at, the truth is a blend of all of that, right? They're clearly looking a way to, pull the ripcord on some of these expensive late night shows as they're preparing for a merger. It just has that look of, well, the FCC said jump, and President Trump, when we asked Stephen Colbert, he said Kimmel's next, and now Kimmel is next, and he said Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers are next, and who knows, you know, where we go. It seems like catering to the concern that it's a threat, even if it's for a merger behind the scenes that now everybody, of course, knows about. But, you know, all of that seems concerning to me. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope it's like, you know, I said these things in frustration and now I wake up the morning after and we have to apologize a little bit or back off a little bit. I certainly hope that's the case. We're talking to our congressman from Northwest Florida, Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All right. I-10 westbound as you approach the I-110 overpass. We've got construction going on before Davis Highway exit. There are pylons closing the left lane of I-10, causing the backup almost to scenic highway. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Congressman Jimmy Petronas. I know you watched a lot of the memorial service yesterday, and we've been talking about it all this morning, of course, covering it. The only, I mean, real news event in the nation yesterday. But your thoughts as you were watching this?
With that many personalities in one place, I tell you, I was impressed that they were able to keep the trains running on time because everybody wanted to share what was important to them about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by the showing, that an event could fill out an entire stadium. They had overflow, they had people outside. That just shows the impact this young man had. He was very gifted. And I think it definitely put him more in a spiritual profile that more and more people realize this week. And look, there's going to be those out there the rule of numbers, the 10% that just say hateful things and do hateful things when you're trying to respect somebody's loss. But I think all in all, it was an incredible tribute to the young man.
I never felt like a worse Christian and husband than listening to Erica Kirk. I know. All right. Thanks for the reminder. a good sermon makes you feel terrible, and do better, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's okay.
Hey, I did want to ask you just a couple of things, other things that are kind of concerning to me. The Venezuelan drug boat thing, I understand the need to cut down on the import of drugs that are killing Americans, but we don't have an authorization for the use of military force. We don't have, rules that I'm aware of. Congress hasn't exerted oversight. War Powers Act might allow the president to act short term, but we're just taking out these boats and hoping and trusting that this is justified. I've read some pretty concerning editorials from military folks who are like, this is not legal. Your thoughts?
I can see where there's going to be those folks out there saying their concerns regarding that. I think you have to look at whatever evidence that we're not seeing that has come forward. Are they getting their due process? No. But I know that who is carrying those drugs to, anybody's shores are also going to be killing and been affecting thousands of others. So, I guess two wrongs don't make a right, but at the end of the day, you're trying to send a message to Venezuela that we're going to stop this and you're going to stop killing, our American youth and youth all over the Caribbean as these drugs are getting sent out and distributed. So, it's a very strong retaliation tactic that we've postured with, but at the same time, what they're doing is also unacceptable in my eyes.
Yeah, and interdiction has been the policy of the United States for the longest time, right? The Coast Guard stops, boards, searches, and arrests. And, of course, no problem with that. Honestly, if I had really good, solid trust in the evidence that this particular boat was actually carrying a giant amount of, cocaine and fentanyl and meth or whatever they were, I may be okay with it. My problem is, we're certainly not looking for due process. In a warlike environment, I get that too. But it's such an escalation, and it worries me that if we target the wrong boat, how justified are we? And trust me is, to me, not really an answer. That's kind of where I'm looking for more, I guess, at this point. I did want to ask you also. Go ahead.
But I'm also hearing that there is an enormous amount of resources, you know, in a tinderbox type environment there at Venezuela. So I see Maduro is now telling his citizens that the army's going to be coming out and teaching his citizens how to use weapons. I mean, we're on the edge of seeing something break in that country.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's also, I mean, you know, the average American never thinks about South America or Central America, you know, and I mean, for the longest, that's one of the things I always admired about Marco Rubio is he was so emphatic in foreign policy and paying attention to our backyard. What we've had is the, you know, the doctrine of the Western Hemisphere for so long. But I mean, I know most Americans are not paying attention, unfortunately. The choice to ask for Bagram back or to say, give us it back, or I mean, is that, this seems like an impossible thing, but then again, you know, the Panama Canal looks like that's kind of working now, right? So do you see a future where we actually control Bagram again?
I do. I mean, when you look at the investment that was made there, even if you had I don't know the specifics of what type of resources it takes to pay back operational, but if nothing else, I think the president's definitely concerned about what you're going to see with a China occupation of it in any way, shape, or form. This is where the president's coming. Look, and he's doing some saber rattling right now. I don't know how much further he takes it.
You know, one of the other, and I hate to be the here's all the criticisms of President Trump for you, Jimmy. What's your answer? but the Pentagon rules suddenly. I mean, it was one thing when they said you can't go wandering the halls, and thought, oh, okay, I can kind of see that. But now that the reporters are going to be required to get prior to print permission from an authorized spokesman in order for everything that they're reporting, and the New York Times already said they won't obey this. This kind of prior restraint on reporting about the military, we're not talking about war plans. We're just talking about accountability in the Fourth Estate doing its job. I mean, this seems like a huge overstep to me.
Well, I think it's, one thing's kind of interesting is I'll take the Florida Capitol, for example. Florida Capitol, once you're a member of the press, you don't have to go through any background checks or anything, and you're allowed to just come and go as you please in Florida Capitol. Everybody else has to, you know, endure, you know, metal detectors, all these other things in order to get in and out. I think some of this may be kind of somewhere in the middle. I think as there is maybe some type of threat analysis that whoever may be coming in because of the environment that they're in, because of the things that may be taking place. If I'm Pete Hegseth, it is probably very difficult to get a good night's sleep considering how much he is shaking things up. So, you know, I'm sure he probably wants to make sure that those that are around him that are accessing that building. But once systems get put in place, things will settle down and they'll be more normalized, I assure you.
We are. We just saw on Thursday, I got to think through when I covered it on the air and when it actually happened in real life. On Thursday, we saw the grand opening of the Leonardo Maintenance, Repair, and Overhaul Facility at the back gate of NAS Whiting Field. We really are becoming this MRO corridor, whether it's at the port with offshore inland and now American Magic coming and the things surrounding that, whether it's at ST Engineering Aerospace at at the airport and now at NAS Whiting. I mean, this is this whole idea of a tech corridor, MRO corridor, is really starting to take shape, don't you think?
It's only going to get better. So, I mean, I had met with a company that says, hey, we're a supplier to Airbus and Mobile. Can we open up a dialogue about doing something in Florida and be a supply chance? They were fearing that Florida wouldn't accept them. No, I said, we'll take anybody that wants to make an investment and bring higher paid jobs into Northwest Florida. So you're going to see it more and more as you having the third assembly line opening up over Mobile. There's going to be that whole leverage of taking advantage of our veterans, that skilled workforce, understanding chain of command, understanding mission readiness. It just makes for a smart marriage in Northwest Florida for all those type of air-related, tech-related, military-related jobs.
I mean, I love the idea of, you know, expansion here into Florida from some of the industries that have been just over the border into Alabama. But also, I mean, Leonardo's talking a couple of years down the road, they might start building their helicopters here. I'm like, sweet. I'll take it. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, no, yeah. I've been I've been wearing out Leonardo on that. I said, look, it's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper to do this work in Florida than Pennsylvania. So, but I'm excited. You know, I mean, little by little, you're going to see more and more of that presence of your company in this part of the country. But it's also a very military-friendly part of the country. It bodes well for them. And the things that Leonardo does in Northwest Florida would blow your mind. They've got a lot of cool stuff that's going on there that benefits our military globally.
Absolutely. Now, if only we could get a couple of the cutters to be built maybe around here instead of in Pascagoula or in Panama City. I mean, that'd be great. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman. I'm sorry, what's that?
I'm keep working it.
Yeah, there you go. Keep doing it. All right. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and be safe until then, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. See you, bud.
You bet. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. All right, so I-10 westbound is starting to become basically almost a parking lot, moving very slowly through a construction zone that starts at Davis Highway, and traffic is backed up all the way to Scenic Highway, that exit right there, because it's down to one lane in construction zones. The left lane is closed, and then when you get onto the I-110 overpass there, then things start to thin out after that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a company, you have employees, you have benefits. You have in health and dental and vision and life and disability insurance. You have human resources. You have payroll. You have all of the most fun stuff that you get up in the morning eager to do. Or you're a normal human, and that's the stuff that you have to do. Or you know, like, it's just the red tapey kind of stuff that you know is important, obviously, and you wish you could do a great job at it. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe it could be better. Maybe it could be cheaper. Maybe it could be more efficient. Call Torgerson Consulting. For more than 20 years, they've been helping local businesses just like yours figure this stuff out. And we've been working with them for, you know, about 4.5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country, and they've been great. They've been great. They're not miracle workers, okay, but they made it better. Better customer service, better plans, better choices than we had before, and I really appreciate them. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
No, everybody in this family has just gone totally out of limits.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody says, Andrew, on Trump, we talked about a half hour ago, you always bend over backwards to give liberals the benefit of the doubt. You don't bend over backwards to give Trump and DeSantis the benefit of the doubt. It's obvious you hate them. Okay. Ask liberals if they think I give them the benefit of the doubt all the time. I try to see both. I try to see virtues and flaws wherever I think that they're fairly identifiable. So, and I always feel like if I get criticized by the right and the left, I'm probably in the right place, you know. But yeah, no, I do criticize my friends. I do criticize people on our side. I think the person had also said, you know, even if you had written the speech and Trump had delivered it, you wouldn't have been happy with it. That's actually not wrong, because I look at my own stuff and I'm dissatisfied with it. So maybe there's something about that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David.
Well, world leaders are gathering in Manhattan this week for the United Nations General Assembly. More than 150 heads of state and their entourages will be arriving at the UN headquarters for the 80th session of the General Assembly. And President Trump's border czar says he did not accept bribes. MSNBC was reporting that Tom Homan accepted $50,000 last year from undercover FBI agents. In an interview with News Nation over the weekend, Homan denied all of those reports.
Well, if we just drop the investigation, that proves he's innocent. Right? Isn't that how that works?
Maybe.
Okay.
Listen on air.